Accession number 19051, Reel 1.
Tony Morton, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Neston.
Which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Neston?
Yes, I did. At St. Winifred School, Catholic School, Neston. And I was there till I was 14 years of age.
You left school at 14?
Yeah, 14.
So that was in 1935?
Yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I worked at Irwin's, which is now Tesco's, as an order boy. Used to take orders out, groceries out, round the Neston, Burton, Parkgate, and Williston. And I did that for about 12 months. Then I got a trade as a joiner with my father. At Heswell, who was a joiner. And I was there till the war years.
So you were working as a joiner when war was declared?
Yes, I was, yes. I was working as a joiner at Charles Pierce of Heswell, building a contractor. And then from there I went to the Shell, to work on the base for the tanks and the storage for petrol. And then I got fed up with that. And although I was already in the TA, I was too young to be called up at the time, 39. And I went in when they moved from Neston down to Colchester. Early 40s.
When did you join the Territorial Army?
39.
Why did you join the TA?
A couple of my mates were in. And we always used to go back together, so we went in.
Do you know which month you joined?
About May, I think.
And which unit of the TA did you join?
4th Cheshire.
And what kind of training did you get with the 4th Cheshires before war broke out?
Well, just the rifle drill and the Vickers machine gun, which were a machine gun regiment. That was about all. It was only a day a week.
What did you think to the Vickers machine gun?
Well, all right, I liked it. Used to be, what would you call it? You would be thinking, Victor McLachlan on the pitches, you know. And he used to get behind the gun and try to be like him, spray about till he got clipped behind the ear by the sergeant, you know. And you tap, you don't read about like that. So used it, to tell you the truth, just on the rifle range. But, because I was number one on the gun, which meant I carried the tripod, which was heavy as well. And from there we set up and everything on the range, and as we were in action. And that's all we did. Didn't do much. Then they went over to France, and because I was underage, I was sent back to Chester Depot, Satan Camp. And then I wanted to go out, so they sent me out to France, but I was in the echelon, like back at base, more or less, taking in kit, sending kit out, just a dog's body.
Where was this?
In France.
Whereabouts in France?
I can't think of the names. Couldn't even pronounce them, I don't think. We coming off close on the not on the Belgian border, but further in. But we were back, and I've been trying to rack where we was. And the chaps who were in with me, none of them are alive now. Out of our own company in of Neston, because we had our own base at the town hall. So all of them's died, and I've been trying to search. I can't think, because my memory's blocks down again.
Were you in France when the Germans attacked?
Yes, but because I was in the base, I was more or less out before Dunkirk. I came off at Calais, back to Dover.
Can you describe what happened when you escaped?
I had just that little bit of luck, I think. Nothing really. Dive bombing. No, not really. We had no dive bombing. Heard shells and that, but nothing out of the ordinary. Not like those at Dunkirk. I must have taken up belting. But I was more or less one of the first to land back in England after Dunkirk, from before Dunkirk. It's about this time they're starting to move. Well, I came off two or three days before when they were starting to think about retreat, I think. So France I don't know much about. And I've never been back to France since, but I wouldn't even know which way it went.
When you came back to Dover, were you by yourself or with a group of others?
No, we were with a group, but a mixed group. They weren't Cheshires. And I was posted then, because I was in the Cheshire Regiment, I was posted up to Tranmere Rovers football ground. Prenton Park, and which is the car park now, with the 8th Cheshires, which was a holding battalion. I stopped with the 8th Battalion until we changed over. They pushed us over then to Liverpool, to Sefton Park, to the 70th King's Regiment, which is also a holding brigade. That's because of underage. We moved to Hull with the Kings, and we were posted to their aerodromes, Leconfield, Driffield, to guard the airport. Then once we reached the age, because they dropped the age, their age group, I was posted to the 1st/6th Lancashire Fusiliers.
Just before we go into the Lancashire Fusiliers, when you were defending the airfields in the East Riding, were there any enemy air attacks?
Yes, at Leconfield, Strafford.
What happened?
Well, it came during the night, and they just shut up the aerodrome. Who was there? Was there? What's his name? Bajip.
Douglas Bader.
Yeah, he landed his, and that was the first time I've ever seen three aircraft land together. The squadron, three of them landed at Leconfield. They fueled up and took off again. Then from there, everything. Then the RAF started to form their own regiments. Then we were moved out, and I ended up where did I end up there? At Driffield, and then I was posted from Driffield to Barnard Castle to come up with the Lancashire Fusiliers.
You were with the 1st 6th Lancashire Fusiliers at Barnard
Castle. Absolutely, yeah. That was Rochdale TA.
What were you doing at Barnard Castle?
Well, then they changed to armour there. They went from an infantry regiment to an armoured regiment, which was the 109 RAC. And that was a Springcroft, I think. Spring. That was barracks.
Is that at Barnard Castle?
Barnard Castle.
And so you were converted to armour there?
No, converted to armour.
What kind of armour did you have?
We had none at the then. We had Bren carriers, but we didn't have any armour. We had a school set up, like with a gun, and getting the drill there, but nothing much. Because I could drive, I was a driver, and that put me on threepence a day extra. There was nothing there. Lord, only thing I ever said, I saw a tank. The first time I saw a tank, when they moved me down to Bovington.
So this unit was called the 109th Regiment, RAC.
Yeah.
And they were the Lancashire Fusiliers.
They were the Lancashire Fusiliers. And as I say, they asked for a draft. So, like good officers, looking after the men, like nobody from the TA went. All those who had come into the regiment was posted, because he kept his TA as a regiment. Then after that went down to Bovington. We had school in there, driving and everything. Firing the guns at Lulworth. We used to go down to Lulworth, fire the guns off the gunnery school. Course there for 3 weeks and driving for 3 weeks. Then the wireless ops, like the 3 weeks. So I went there about this June, July, I think.
Is this
1941? 41. I was tough there. And then, it was longer because we shipped out from Liverpool in the just after Christmas 41. That's just after Christmas 41. And we sailed out to Africa, down South Africa. Stopped at Cape Town, where some were dropped off for the Far East. We carried on to Durban, then up to the Red Sea, Port Tewfik. Then up by train to Abbasia Barracks, which was the tank barracks in Cairo. I was in Abbasia then. Dog's body again, I suppose. Ferrying tanks up, loading them up, putting them on the transport, putting them on the trains, taking up ammunition, doing anything like it. In the base and come under the base. And at that time, the 8th Armoured Div came out then, and they were the Gold Division, and they went up into the older line at Alamein, I think, at Alamein, yeah.
Were you in that division?
No, I was still at base. I was posted to the 7th Tanks, but I never got up because they were too far up. And when we were posted, they were starting to move them back.
So you went to Egypt to join the 7th Royal Tank Regiment?
Yeah. So when we moved back, when they started to retreat, the 7th Tanks went into Tobruk and they were all captured. And the regiment just folded. There was no regiment then. So everybody, it was a flap then, everybody was flapping and pushing us everywhere and going up to Kantara, I think it was, camped there, holding camp, to go to any regiment that was free. And it just happened that the 8th Armoured Division were put in the line without any practice or anything. And we just, after putting them in the line, they got orders to hold it and attack. And they went into the minefield, but instead of going across the minefield, they ran up and down it. And they lost. Well, each regiment average is about I've averaged about 100-odd tanks. And the 40th, I think, lost 116. And the 46th lost the same. And the 50th, they lost about 20 or 30. So they were fighting for Kidney Ridge then, I think. So,
but you were with them then?
No, no. I was still in the Kantara with the holding battalion. Now, with the 8th Armoured Division getting done up, we were posted to the 23rd Armoured Brigade, because the 8th Armoured Division, they formed the 23rd Armoured Brigade out of it, which was the 40th Tanks, the 46th Tanks, and the 50th Tanks. Now, I was posted to the 50th Tanks, and I joined them at El Alamein, and that is really when I first got the training of tanks. Every day, you were in, you were out. If had your gunnery, and I'll say this, that everybody really got trained with the 50th Tanks. And as I say, I was a driver. Then at the Battle of Alamein, we had about a fortnight down in the depression. We were practicing the battle for the attack for El Alamein. It was going to be a frontal attack, and it was going to be the same as the 1418 war. Montgomery didn't care whether he lost the lot. He was willing to take that chance. And it was a straight, ordinary balaclava charge. So that was the battle for Alamein.
Were you in that?
Yes.
What happened to you?
Well, I got... We went through the minefield, and it was night time, and you couldn't see anything, although the flashes of the guns lit up everything up. The barrage was terrific. It was nerve-wracking. It was the hardest part of the fighting was the waiting. You waited on the start line. So you had a start line. Already the gap was made. But to me, it was the retina was a big track opening, but it wasn't. It was a tank ahead, tank following tank. And all the Germans done was found out where the gap was and just shot. And with an 88 gun on you, it'd take the turret off. And we only had 2 pounders. So Jerry could knock you out at a mile away, no problem. But we have to get about 100 yards and do any damage to him. And yeah, we supported the Highland Division. I had the Argyles on me, with me. I could still hear that flaming piping sitting on the tank, over the noise of the gun, to wail. And we went in, and we went in, we dropped the Argyles off, we pulled back to Liga, fill up with petrol, ammunition, and back in. We hit a mine, so it was repair the track. Nobody was hurt. We went in again, come out to fill up again. Then we landed the barbed wire, which wrapped around the flaming tracks. So we had to struggle with that out. We got knocked out. Lucky, no casualties. And I'll say this, that must have been a guardian angel, because the crew that I was with me when I come out. No, we got shrapnel, bare cuts and that, but nothing, nobody killed. And I was pleased with that. But others in the troop, they got shot up. And although the noise was going on and the tracks and all that, you could still hear the screams of people getting burned to death. And that was a fear that we all feared, was that as you would waiting, of course, smoking. I don't know why they say smoking hurt you, because in the war, every soldier more or less smoked 40, 50 fags a day, because you're waiting, you wait, and you go into action. And you don't fight for 5 or 6 hours. You pause and just waiting for somebody to move. And that's where the fear is. And then your mind starts saying, well, if it's going to be me, let it be quick. It affects your mind. But once you start, the guns start going, you forget everything. You're that well trained in the tanks that you just know, anything happens, you know exactly what you're going to do. If a gunner, as we had the Valentine tanks, we drove Valentines, and the hatch was on the side. Now, if you hit, those hatches are liable to jam on you. So when they bail out, they always bail out in front, where the gun is, and the gunner usually, when he jumped out, would grab the hatch outside and pull, and you'd push, and when I look back, when I go down to the museum, Bobbington, for the reunions, I look back and I say, how the hell did I get in that, and how did I get out, because as I say, I was thankful I came out with nothing more than a few scratches.
So, at Alamein, you were with the 50th Royal Tank Regiment?
Right through then, through Italy and into Greece.
And what squadron and troop were you in?
I was in the 2 Troop. I was in C Squadron. No, 4 Troop, 4, number 4, 4 Troop. It was Sergeant Greaves, was the military tank commander. The chap named Hulse. It we went right through, no trouble at all. Right through Italy, followed the attack up to Tripoli in the Battle of Marath, at the Marath line.
What happened to you at the Marath battle?
Marath? Well, that was different fighting. That was over wadis. That was when the winter was setting in. That was rain, slush and mud. Went in with the 50th TT Division there, Durham Light Infantry. Good lads, well trained and everything. And when we got to Marath, at the start line, I met Orlake Brigade of the Royal Horse Artillery, RHA, and about half of the village lads who joined up there to miss the militia. And they pinched all my rum off the tank, because we used to carry jars of rum on the tank. And they said, well, you won't need this, we'll have it. Besides the food, because we could carry, they couldn't carry, because they only had corned beef and biscuits. We had tins of things, you know.
Why did they think you wouldn't need the rum?
Well, we didn't really. It wasn't really called for. Good rum as well. Yeah, we used to have a stone jar like that, and it was full of rum. And I just took it. Because when you met, we could carry beer, you see, and everything, but they couldn't carry anything, because they were in front of us. That was the anti-tank guns in front of us. And I said to this Mickey Medcalf from Neston, I said, where are you stationed? Where are you? I thought it'd be the back of me with the 25-pounders. He said, no, he said, we haven't set up yet. I said, going to be somewhere over there, he said. And I said, who are you with? He said, don't know. He said, waiting for the Durham Light Infantry. So we put in the attack. It was nothing, it was rubbish. We did break through, but it's only when the New Zealanders got round the back of him. But as I say, I bogged down in the wadi, and we came out all right.
You mean you got stuck?
Yeah.
Was it muddy?
Oh yes, oh God, aye. So I pulled out the Durhams. Some couldn't get up, some couldn't get back. So when they fell back, like, we recovered the tanks. Then we went then up to Enfidaville through Searcy and places. And at Enfidaville we stopped. That was as far as we went. Because we had to leave the First Army to take Tunis. Although they threatened that the 11th Hussars was first in Tunis, as well as they were first in Tripoli. The 23rd Army Brigade was the first tanks in Tripoli. But then the folded up. We came back then to Sfax. Sfax, that's right. They're coming back now. We came back to Sfax, where we changed over then to Sherman tanks.
What did you think of the Sherman?
Well, better than what. I like the Valentine. It's small, although it's only done 40.